I don't want you guys to judge Kyle, our worship leader. But I have to be honest. He and Drew Castoro both smuggled 5 pounds each of boudin from Louisiana across the Mississippi line. We made it across the Alabama line. And, you know, we get into Florida and you see the big billboards that say surveillance by plane. We are just scared they're going to see the ice chests out in the back of the vehicle. We had 20 pounds of boudin come. Boudin. They ate boudin balls. They ate boiled crawfish. Yes, yes. Drew and Kyle ate some boiled crawfish. They ate some etouffee, some gumbo, some meshes donuts. I bought a king cake. So if the pants don't fit this week, we all know why, right? But besides that, guys, we were able to be engaged in a GROW network or GROW regional training. And it's a pastor who's originally from Baton Rouge. And God led him to Birmingham, Alabama to start a church. He had about 30-something people when he started that church. And now they're reaching 80,000 people. And I don't mean numbers as in numbers as just 80,000. They are planting campuses nonstop. They already have 17 campuses all around, I believe, Alabama, reaching tons of people. And Pastor Chris Hodges, his heart has been to equip and train churches, 1,000 churches, to reach 1,000 people, to grow to be 1,000. And we are on track with that. And that's what we're going to do is we're going to continue to invest in our leadership so we can invest in you so that we can do what? Grow. A phenomenal conference. We're able to learn a lot. There's a lot of good things that we're doing here at Fellowship Church that we are going, not can, we are going to do better. And there are some things that we don't do well, you know, that we may have to let go of so that we can reach our community. Times change. Amen? Last time I looked in the mirror, I had a few more wrinkles. Times change. Everything changes. So listen, today I just want to give you guys thanks for praying for us, for those of you who knew we were traveling. We drove out there Saturday, and we drove back Thursday. And Wendy and Joyce flew out there Monday night and headed back the same way. So it's just a pleasure to be able to bond with our staff and volunteers. Today, I want you to also write this down. This is going to be the absolute shortest message that Pastor Damon has ever spoken in Fellowship Church. I'm dead serious. If I don't do this, I have to get another job. Honestly, it was so crazy. I'm in church. Louisiana is an hour difference, and I'm in the middle of church, and I get text from Brandy during the service. She said, you need to look for another job. I broke your record. And I'm like, what is she talking about? And then I remembered Wendy was here on the same Sunday that Brandy was here. So, like, they just worked this little whole plan out. And then throughout the rest, I get a text from Wendy. Oh, Brandy nailed it, blah, blah, blah. And she told me how long it was. And she's like, I can look over your resume if you need, you know. and then I was like, all right, y'all playing a joke on me. I got this, you know. Well, then I start getting texts from other people in the church. And when you start getting texts from other people in the church, you're like, this really happened. Like, this is the real deal. And I got a chance to ask Aiden, because I kind of, you know, prompted him before. I said, Bubba, make sure you get up in front of the church and say that I'm the absolute best preacher you've ever heard. And then your mom's going to come up and she's going to be kind of almost there. No, I prompted him to just really say who was the better preacher. Now, who did he say was the better preacher? Did he say anything about that? Yeah. All right. Let me check. Who was that? Because he's probably looking for a reward, you know. Did he say Brandy was better? I even bought, like, gifts when I got home, specifically for him, you know, but it didn't work out. But, you know, honestly, guys, all marriages are difficult. I don't want you guys to ever think that Brandy and I are, like, polished, even though we've been married 23 years coming up. We can really point out each other's faults. You guys do that every once in a while, like as a hobby, you know, like Saturday evenings, let me just pick out your faults. But one thing I can say that is an honor is that my wife loves God, that my wife loves me. She loves my family. She loves the ministry. She loves to teach and preach. And I would pick that over anything, any day. You know that? So if you ever get frustrated with your spouse or your companion, if they love God and they're pursuing God and they're eager to be used by God, you just go ahead and start checking off the list of they're a keeper. They're a keeper. Amen? And if they're not, they're still a keeper. Still a keeper. Just got to keep on loving your spouse and leading them on the path of righteousness. All right, so my message starts right now. It is 11:35. What I'd like to do, y'all like how I do that, huh? What I'd like to do is just kind of recap. We sit in church an average, I'm here an average of, it's 52 Sundays. I'm probably here 46, just a guess. Says 46 Sundays that I'm here. You may be here 52. You may be here 23.579. I don't know. But when we're here, we're underneath the teaching of God's Word, right? Some of you are involved in Bible study. Some of you are involved in even like small groups off campus. You're involved in maybe a ladies' Bible study, part of another church that you attend with, you know, during the week or once a month, whatever the case is. And you're underneath the teaching of God's Word. But I have failed as a Christian by simply attending church. I have failed greatly as a Christian by just simply attending church. It wasn't until I began to interpret and understand the power that God had given me at the point of salvation. It would be very similar to you're driving a vehicle like it has a four-cylinder. When you're getting into traffic or getting in onto the interstate, it's like driving it like it has a four-cylinder when it really has a Hemi eight-cylinder. Does that make sense? It's the same way with being a Christian who just goes to church, a four-cylinder, in comparison to a Christian that now understands the power that I possess in Christ alone. And when I begin to understand God's word was applicable to my life, it had the power, it had the power, it had the power, I begin to see things change in my life. As a young Christian, I was in, you know, 20, I was 19, 18 years old when I got saved. Brandy Family Church, they'd been there for 12 years or so. We were there every Sunday morning for Bible study. We were there for service. We were there for training union on Sunday nights. And we were there on Wednesday nights. I was like biblically obese. I was church obese is what I was. I was like way overweight because I had put myself underneath the teaching of God's word, but I never actually let it get in me and then begin to use it. And I was this weak Christian who's always bound to sin and I'm just always going to fail. I'm always going to do the things that I screw up with and I mess up repeatedly. That sound like some of your conversations with God? It wasn't until I understood God's word gives me power to tread over scorpions and serpents. It wasn't until I understood God's word gives me power to speak to temptation and sin in my life and to denounce it and to no longer give it authority over those areas. It wasn't until I learned God's word had the power to do that. Does that make sense? My wife struggled with TMJ since a young age, got in a T-bone head-on collision in Arkansas, and it put her in unimaginable pain for months and months and months and months. And we cried out at the altars of this little country Baptist church for 4 months for my wife to be healed. I couldn't depend on the pastor to heal her. I couldn't depend on Sunday school, Bible study, Wednesday night, training union. I couldn't depend on that for my wife to be healed. I had to depend on God's word. Because there are a lot of Baptist churches that don't really believe in miraculous healings. That was all done away when that which is perfect has come. And there are denominations that believe that this is the face. Does this have a face? He's talking about Jesus Christ. And last time I checked, he hadn't come to rescue us. Amen? But it wasn't until Brandy and I began to actually walk in his word and we saw her miraculously healed of TMJ. I'm talking about God's word. Amen? So that's the reason why I've been passionate about this message series. We can all sit in church. We can all even teach. But are we using all eight cylinders that are in us? The first week I preached on Hebrews 4:12. I'll get the word out. Hugh even quoted it a while ago, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, right? You guys memorized that the first week. Who's ready to finish it? Sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even to dividing what? It's not on the screen. Joint and what? Soul and spirit, that it judges the attitudes and intents of the... That's powerful. That's powerful. That was the first week. We have to learn the power of God, how it's very sharp going in and it's sharp coming out. It wants to inject godliness into us, and it wants to extract fleshliness out of us. It wants to remove those parts of us that were given to us, you know, at conception, or maybe we've been offended, hurt, taken advantage of at some given point in our life where certain things were injected into us, racism, hate, prejudiceness, whatever the case is, judgmentalism on certain sections or societies. But God's word comes in and begins to just work on those finite areas. The second week, we preached on whistle while you work. I saw someone quoted that yesterday, Miss Sandy. They were working on her mom's home, and they said, whistle while you work. Anybody know the tune for that? I heard one. Come on, let's all give it a shot. Whistle while you work. How's that feel? It doesn't feel natural, right? Maybe because you're sitting, you're not working. You know, it kind of like goes together, right? Whistle while you work. We focused on 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It says that all scriptures God-breathed and useful for teaching. How many of you guys like to be taught the word of God? Teaching. How many of you love to be rebuked by the word of God? That's like the best spanking ever. When you think a certain way for so many years, and then God's word comes in and says, he rebukes you. No, that's not what the scripture says. That's not the way God intended. Makes sense? Rebuking, correcting, and training for what? For knowledge? For spiritual pride? No. Trains for righteousness. Why does God want to train us to be righteous? So we can exemplify his characteristics, his nature. Amen? I can wear 15 crosses all over my body. Does that make me righteous? I could wear Christian screen-printed T-shirts that invite you to my church on the back, but does that make me righteous? I may even have fish symbols on my vehicle. Does that make me righteous? No, that makes you a target. Yeah, yeah. Play around a little road rage with your fish on the back. See what happens. You're number one to a lot of people, okay? But whenever we give way to God's power, who begins to shape us and pull things out and put things in and mold us and guide us and lead us and direct us, that's when you begin to live a life that is sinless. It's less sin. Make sense? Sinless, less sin. And then you begin to carry the heart of God. And you begin to see that, wow, man, I'm walking in righteousness. I'm not dealing with the stuff I dealt with last month. And I'll never have to deal with it again because God has set me free. Walking in righteousness through his cleansing power. And it says, verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. As I shared in our growth track, that's our heart at Fellowship Church. All of us will always feel inadequate. Every one of us. Now, you may know it all at your job. You may know it all in your sphere of influence, but you don't know it all, right? You really don't. There's so many things that we're unaware of, that we're just blindsided by because we have blind spots. And that's what's good about having accountability relationships with people who are following after God. They can point out areas in your blind spots. Amen? So that every servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's our heart, is that you are all equipped to do every good work of God. The third week, we begin to confess that we want smoky bones. And I'm not talking about grilled ribs, although they would be nice. Who's really good at cooking ribs? Like, that's a lot of hands. Come on, raise your hands high so we know who to invite. One, two, three, four. Four people know how to make five? Y'all heard that shh over there? Five people in our church know how to make ribs. Y'all ready to have a big family gathering, a big church luncheon? Yes, ribs and tings, right? But I want smoky bones. What does that mean? What does that mean? Does anybody remember the scripture that we got that from? I want smoky bones. It came from Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. But if I say I will never mention the Lord and speak of his name again, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I don't know about you. How many have ever like played with fire or a flammable liquid and it somehow stayed on you for just a brief moment? Come on. Did you move around quickly? Did you do a new dance? Did you holler? Did you say a few choice words? Right? So we're talking about God's word. Jeremiah the prophet was preaching his heart out, and everyone was rejecting. It just wasn't accepted. They weren't just, you know, accepting what God had for them and begin to obey and believe in the one true God. They were just kind of just bowling pins, not really being moved by what he had to say, somewhat rebuking him, and he was ready to give up. He said, God, you're killing me. You got me over here in this foreign land, preach, and nobody's doing anything about it. He said, you know what? I'm ready to quit. But if I quit, it's going to be like a fire. So I'm getting at, guys, when we have God's word in our heart, it's going to want to come out. It's destined. It's made. It's created. It's given to us to come out. Because if it doesn't come out, what happens? You're very uncomfortable. Right? Not sharing God's word, not sharing God's love, can be just as uncomfortable as your hand on fire, your foot on fire, your pants leg on fire. See what I mean? That's what the prophet Jeremiah was saying. He said, man, I have to get this out. I have to let it out. Guys, if all you know is John 3:16, let it out. That is the most powerful scripture in all of humanity, this world. For God so loved the world that, like this guy said, whosoever, everybody is a whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. When we're passionate about the power of God, we begin to research, we begin to learn, we begin to go further. He says right here, it's like a fire shut in my bones. I am worn out. I'm weary by trying to hold it in. And the last part, y'all say was a very good message. Romans 10:15, I have beautiful feet. How many of you guys really like walking around in flip-flops? I see 2, 3, 4 flip-flops. How many men felt uncomfortable last week? I have beautiful feet. How many of y'all felt confident? 1. That's good. I have beautiful feet. And Brandy preached and shared the scripture, Romans 10:15, and how will anyone go and tell them the good news, tell them about God, tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring forth the good news. Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful are the mountains, on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. The good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel reigns. Guys, if we are embarrassed of our faith, we're embarrassed of our faith. We don't really want to share our faith. What does that mean to you? A lot of times we're embarrassed, we'll just cover it up. We won't let the person next to us know that we're a believer. We won't let the person next to us know that we have standards and biblical principles that we live by, right? It's the same thing as wearing closed-toed shoes spiritually. You need to wear flip-flops. You need to wear sandals. You need to be excited that you do have beautiful feet because you are one who shares the gospel. You know, it says that the feet tread upon the mountains. They're beautiful. That means you got to go places. Everywhere you go, you need to share God's love. And that's what Miss Brandy shared last week. Beautiful are the feet of those who bring forth the gospel. And that's what we're doing here at Fellowship Church. We're a church where real relationships begin. Our heart is that every single person that comes here will establish a real relationship with God. Not a superficial, not an outer layer level, but a real relationship with God, hearing God, talking with God, a real relationship with God, a real relationship with people. The only thing you can really gain in life by sitting in rows is knowledge. But when you live life in the context or the atmosphere of a circle, I'm talking about a group where you can be face-to-face with someone and you can converse and you can talk and you can edify and you can help. You can also receive edification. You could also receive help. You could call on people when you need them. Amen? That growth happens in circles. It happens in small groups. It happens in relationships. So at Fellowship Church, we want you to have a relationship with the real God. We want you to have a real relationship with people. People. You're not going to grow and really be all that God has for you by hiding in this little cave, right? You got to have opportunities to be used and to serve. And I've watched many of you since I've been here, almost 9 years. It's been hard to get you to get plugged in and serve in certain areas. I'm telling you, when you get connected and you begin to serve, and you get connected to small groups, you begin to see opportunities arise and you use your giftings and your talents that you never knew you had. You have to open yourself up to that. So real relationship with God, real relationship with people, real relationship with purpose. Discover, why am I even here? I can look in some of your faces and know you haven't discovered your purpose yet. That's how evident it is. It's not a bad thing, is it? If you're clocking up there in years, yeah, it could be. But to discover it, even in your seasoned moments, your seasoned years, to finally discover, why did God even, I know I've been a good father, I've been a good mother, I'm a hard worker, I go to church, I give. But what's my purpose? I want you guys to discover your purpose. Because when you discover your purpose, you've had a real relationship with God, you've engaged, you have a real relationship with people, you've been able to iron sharpen iron. Guess what? The iron can't get sharpened unless it rubs other what? Iron. So that means you got to be connected to small groups. And then you discover your purpose through being connected and learning and testing the waters. And once you discover your purpose, you begin to then have real change in your life. How many of you guys have been just saved and changed by the power of God? Changed. I hope I get a little more hand raising than that. Changed by the power of God. Well, guys, that's my heart. I want all of us to have a real relationship with God, purpose, people, and change. And isn't it crazy? Mike, you didn't know this. This is God, because I just got this morning. Our message series that we put together actually covers the purpose of Fellowship Church. Incredible. The first week, we said, get the word out. That's to know God, to know God's word, to follow God. Second one was know the real people. Second Timothy talks about what? What God's word is used for, reaching, teaching, review. You can't do that by yourself. You have to be engaged in relationships, right? The third part is, that we want people to have a real relationship with purpose. God, I want smoky bones. Jeremiah was fulfilling God's purpose for his life, but also for the lives that he was preaching to. And once you discover your purpose, you experience change, just like we shared. A lot of us have dirty feet. We've gone a lot of places God really didn't intend for us to go. He didn't desire for us to go, right? We have dirty feet. But yet as we become washed in God's love and his word, and we begin to go out and share that with others, then our feet become beautiful. We begin to discover our purpose, and then we begin to experience a change. You go through a beautification process. You look better when the red blood of Jesus washes away your sin. Come on now. Some of y'all need to get excited. Because when God used to look down at me, he saw dung. He saw garbage, rubbish, trash. Make sense? But when Jesus slid that little filter of his blood and his sacrifice between the way God viewed me and who I really was, then God begins to see me. Wow. Wow. I didn't know he could polish up quite that well. I didn't know he could clean up. Yeah, he knew. He knew. Amen? So what's my charge to you guys? What's my call to action? My call to action is begin to use God's word. Use it in your daily life. Use it in your daily life. Use it in your work environment. Use it in your diet habits. You know, I'm addicted to sugar. I'm not going to lie about that. I love sugar and caffeine. And Wendy got to spend a few more days with us over there. And she asked my grandmother, has he always drank this much caffeine? I said, nobody paid attention to how much caffeine intake I had. I don't know why I just told you that. But anyway. We want to see lives change. Let's pray. Father, we ask right now, God, you would encourage your people to go beyond what they have already mastered. God, we've mastered doing the norm. We've mastered attending church. We've mastered planning when to go to church. But God, I pray that our relationship with you is far more real, far more desirable than us filling a calendar of when to attend. God, would you work in our hearts where we say we've served last year for VBS, or we served last month or last weekend, and I'm going to take 6 months off because I've done my part. But yet, God, there are still plenty of homes, families, individuals that are being destroyed. God, help us to reach them. Help us to teach them. Help us, God, to make significant impact and influence so we can see lives changed. So, guys, my call to you is that you respond with commitment to God. God, your word has changed my life, and I want it to change so-and-so's life. You know those people in your life that you just, if God's word could just get to them, it would radically change their direction. And if you're the one to see that, then I believe in my heart, you're the one to bring God's word to that area. So this week, as you pray and consider the best method, the best avenue to bring forth God's word to those people, I pray that you do it with boldness and you do it with assurance and courage, because God gives us many times in his word to be courageous, to walk in courage, that God is for us, not against us. That with God, when he's with us, who can be against us? And begin to share God's word with those people. That's what I ask right now, that you begin to walk in boldness. And Father, if there is someone here this morning that has never had a one-on-one encounter with you, God, they could show us what church is about. They can write what church is about. They can even walk through the motions of church. But God, if that person doesn't really know you, would you just lift up your hand? No one's looking around right now. I didn't ask anyone to close their eyes or bow their head, but they have, so that you can have a one-on-one connection with God. Would you just lift your hand right now? I want Jesus in my life. Thank you so much. I have about five of you that lifted your hands. That's what it's about. It's about people who want Jesus in their life. God, would you forgive me? God, where I've done wrong, the things that I know to be right according to your word. And God, the things that you have made clear to me, I walk away from today. Today, Lord. I choose you, Lord, over my sin. I choose you, Lord, over my habits. And God, I choose you over my fleshly desires. Would you wash me clean? I ask you today to be my Lord. I seek you for everything in life and to be my Savior, because you save me from a life that I am bound to outside of accepting your love today. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. I want to grow like I've never grown before.